Again, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight in the Word, this short little time we can have together here. Can we pray for those missing, absent, sick, and ailing? Lord, that you just be with them. Hold them up before you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you picked up the outline on the way in, but published for posterity, I don't know. But in any event, I thought it was because of the many, many folks that are out tonight and things going on, I thought perhaps we'd look at something from the New Testament, not from Psalms this time. There'll be plenty of time for that a little bit later. But from the New Testament, from the book of Acts, if you turn with me to the book of Acts, let's, again, I titled it, Are You Encouraged? And we'll go through the chapter fairly quickly with some thoughts. I have six points, and again, they're not very, very long or in-depth, but we'll talk about encouragement tonight. You know, today, most of us live in a world, in a very discouraging, sometimes very confusing world at that. Media all about us, you know, be it the internet, the radio, I don't know if anyone listens to the radio, but the TV and newspapers, magazines, and TV commercials are all designed to make us feel bad about ourselves and only better if we buy their product or use their service or do something that usually involves you exchanging some money for also to feel better or to get encouraged. In the end, it turns out that most of the cases you've only lost the money, you've only given them your money in exchange for something of either some value or no value at all. The world screams at most of us that we're inadequate. Depression and disillusionment are epidemic. And places that should be encouraging, like marriages, schools, and homes, are more often than not discouraging. If you and I are desperate for one thing, it's encouragement in today's world. Tonight we'll take a topical rather than expository approach to the time together with one word for each of us here tonight, encouragement. One thought, our God is an encouraging God. One application, am I an encourager? So what is encouragement all about? Well, it's the opposite of discouragement. That's pretty easy. But it says in the Oxford Dictionary, that big doorstop that you might have seen in the library, bound between two big things called the Basic Outline of Knowledge, a book, that it's to give confidence, to have courage or hope. In the original Greek and Hebrew, various words are used for our modern encourage and current word of encouragement. The basic idea is that of urging forward, persuading, exhorting, together with the idea of also comforting and consoling the individual. In its form as a noun is the Greek word paraklesis, as the pastor has often mentioned, which is closely related to the word parakletos, the name for our comforter and the Holy Spirit. In 1872, Daniel Kelly was living in Kansas and wrote the words to the song Home on the Range. Today it is the official song of Kansas. I particularly like the part that says Home, Home on the Range, where the deer and the antelope play. Of course, back then there was a few more antelope, several million in fact, whereas now they estimate down to 1,000. But my favorite part is the next line, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Wouldn't we all like to live in a place described in the song where seldom is heard a discouraging word? But the truth is that many of our words we hear today are demeaning and discouraging. Some people are so negative they only see problems. The story is told of a duck hunter who bought a brand new dog. He took the dog out for the first time, and when he shot the duck, the dog quickly ran across the top of the water and retrieved the duck. The duck hunter thought that this was absolutely amazing, and he'd never seen anything like it before, so he's going to show his friend. So the next day, he got his best hunting buddy, and they went out together. But this guy was always a complainer and always negative about most things. So when the hunter shot the duck the next day, and just like the day before, the dog ran across the top of the water and retrieved the duck that had been shot. The hunter turned to his friend and said, "Did you notice anything strange about my dog?" The negative guy said, "I sure did. He can't swim a lick." It seems like everywhere we turn, we hear discouraging words. It takes a lot of knowledge and skill to build a house, but it doesn't take much skill to tear one down. In the same way, it's easier to tear people down with our words, attitudes, and actions rather than to build them up. Are you an encourager? When you're around people, can they save you where seldom is heard a discouraging word? It takes courage to encourage. Paul was an encourager. So let's read a few of his words to his friends in Corinth on how to be an encourager. Like I said, we'll spend some time in chapter 1. Like Paul, we can all be an encouragement to others by being a friend. Look with me in Acts 18, verses 1 through 4. We can be an encourager by being a friend. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. So Aquila and Priscilla, as we've heard before, were a Jewish couple who had previously been forced to relocate to Corinth because of the edict that the Jews would be removed from Rome at the time. Instead of being bitter and angry, though, they chose to make new friends in Corinth. And they met Paul, who had the same occupation that they did, tent making, and they became close friends together. So we've seen how we can be an encouragement by being a friend, but we can also be an encouragement by being a loyal friend, not just a friend. Read with me in Acts 18, verses 5 through 6. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed him themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Silas and Timothy had been friends and ministered with Paul for quite a while. Timothy was like a son to Paul, and Silas was with Paul more than once when they were being persecuted because of their testimony and preaching. Paul seemed to attract abuse and controversy, it seems, but Timothy and Silas never abandoned Paul. Paul told the Jews in Corinth that he had done all he could for them, and because they had rejected Jesus as their Messiah, he would henceforth take his ministry to the Jews, who would ultimately be more effective. So we've seen that we can be an encourager by being a friend, and also by being a loyal friend. Next, we can be an encourager by being hospitable. We see that in the next verse, in verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. That is, it was actually right next door. Paul literally left the synagogue and went next door and took up lodging with this man named Justus, also known as Titus Justus, who was a worshiper of God, the way Paul had explained. Most authorities believe that Paul stayed in Justus's home for approximately 18 months, as we'll see later. But Justus was just showing hospitality by opening his house and welcoming in a stranger, as we all could. So we've seen that we can be an encourager by being a friend, being a loyal friend, not just a friend, and also by being hospitable. Next, we see that we can be an encourager by sharing our faith with others. Acts 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Crispus was the leader of the synagogue at the time and was not yet a Christian until Paul showed up. He had been following the traditions of traditional Judaism, but Paul shared his faith in Jesus Christ to those of the synagogue, as we're aware, but many rejected the message, but not Crispus or his family, as it's indicated here, and ultimately also many other Corinthians, and they were also all eventually baptized. So we see we can be an encourager by being a friend, a loyal friend, being hospitable, and by sharing our faith. Next, a little bit longer passage, we see how we can be an encourager by praying, preaching, and listening to God's word, in verses 9 through 17. And then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. And he continued there for a year and 6 months, as we saw earlier, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Archaea, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would I that I should bear with you? But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." In other words, like Pilate, he washed his hands of the situation. And he drave them from the government, from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, and Sosthenes was Crispus's replacement as the chief priest, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. So here we see that God spoke to Paul in a vision and told him not to be afraid. He told Paul to keep on preaching the gospel as he had been, and that he would protect him from harm. Notice that God also told Paul that he had many, many people in the city of Corinth, just as we may, each of us may have here in Bremerton. And God did exactly what he promised to Paul. He protected him. Sometimes we can feel alone or isolated, especially when we see wickedness all around us or are persecuted for our faith. Usually, however, there are others in our expanded neighborhood or community who are also followers of Jesus Christ. We just need to step in faith and ask God to lead us to them. We see in verse 11 that during the 18 months that Paul stayed in Corinth, home based at Justice's home, that he established a local church there. In addition, we also know from other information that he wrote two letters to believers, in those believers in Thessalonica, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And we see in verse 13 that Paul was charged with promoting a religion that was not approved by Roman law. Romans 17:7 says, "Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." The Jewish leaders there of the day had to concoct some charges against Paul and Silas that they would be heard by the city government. The Romans didn't care about theological differences between the Jews and these new preachers. The charge amounted to treason and was considered a serious offense in the Roman Empire. But Paul was not encouraging obedience to a human king other than Caesar, nor was he speaking against the Roman Empire. Instead, he was speaking about Christ's eternal kingdom. Verses 14 through 16 was ultimately recognized as an important judicial decision for the spread of the gospel in the Roman Empire. While Judaism was a recognized religion under Roman law, as long as the Christians were seen as part of Judaism, Gallio refused to hear the cases brought against them. If they claimed to be a new religion, they could have possibly been outlawed by the government. In effect, Gallio was saying to the leaders of the synagogue in verse 16, "I don't understand all your terminology or your finer points of your theology. Handle the matter yourself and don't bother me any further." In verse 17, we see that the crowd of Greeks took Sosthenes and beat him following Gallio's pronouncement. Well, Crispus had earlier been the leader of the synagogue, and Sosthenes had taken his place, as I mentioned, when he became a Christian. As a result of Gallio's decision, the Greek crowd beat Sosthenes for losing the case and leaving the synagogue worse off than before. I think Sosthenes needed a few friends and needed some encouragement, but he didn't get it from the friends that he had, from those people that he had there. So we've seen we can be an encourager by being a friend, by being a loyal friend, by being hospitable, by sharing our faith, by praying, preaching, and listening to God, and finally, by discipling them in verses 18 through 28. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, "I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will," and he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed in Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexander, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing, though, only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Not only then did Paul disciple many people, but when we see here that Aquila and Priscilla also discipled a man named Apollos. Apollos also knew scripture well and wasn't afraid to speak about Jesus in the synagogue, but he still had plenty to learn, as we know and see in other parts of the New Testament. But Aquila and Priscilla eventually invited Apollos into their home, showing hospitality, where they taught him more about God, thus discipling him, and thus being a good friend. So in conclusion, it's so easy to discourage others. Let's try to become, though, a better encourager. Some wise person once observed, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you." May God make us like him, like that man. May God make us all encouragers. Luke?